Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons on the Score.
It's a 2-2 count on Mr. Swanson with 2 out. And the 2-2 pitch from Cabrera. Here it is. Fastball swing and a miss. Struck him out. And your Cardinal team is... National League Division Champions, and they're going to go to the Championship Series. And they celebrate on the field as they all gather around the mound. And we'll wait for Michael to get his first guest down on the field.
The McNeil and Parkin Show on 670 The Score.
Still the most incredible series-clinching playoff call I've ever heard. Just the excitement, Mac. It emanates through your radio speaker.
And Mike Shannon actually was at the ballpark. He wasn't watching somewhere else like most of these broadcasters are doing right now, some with better success than others in describing games. But, yeah, Mike Shannon actually was there. That was really painting a picture, wasn't it?
It was. Just goosebumps. It just chills all over you. So you got to have Twitter open seemingly at all times if you're trying to actually stay up to date on the news of the day in sports with regards to a global pandemic, because I teased news in baseball that will finally come and affect the Chicago baseball team. And by the time the break was over, we've got new COVID news that affects the Chicago Bears. Jordan Lucas has opted out of the 2020 season. Bears safety Jordan Lucas. So obviously not as significant as Eddie Goldman, but add him to the list of players that have opted out there. As for the baseball news, the Cardinals-Tigers four-game series has been canceled. After 13 positive tests, 7 of them players among throughout the Cardinals organization, the tentative plan for now is for the Cardinals to resume their season for Friday's game with the Chicago Cubs.
And, you know, and after the layoff, that should give the Cubs an advantage. I heard Mark DeRosa the other day talking about this. When you don't see 97 every day and you're, you know, you can only come so close to simulating what you see when you're having batting practice and you stand in there after a week off, that's going to have an effect on St. Louis hitters. So the layoff certainly bodes well for the Cubs, who have 4 with Kansas City and then move ahead to St. Louis. So that's good for the Cubs.
I'm
looking at it from a baseball standpoint. That's all I can do here.
That's okay.
It's what I chose to do in that particular scenario.
Okay, yeah. There's other things I can do.
It's all
really?
I can do.
Like, really?
Keep talking to you.
We'll see, right? We'll see if that game gets played. We'll see how the Cubs feel about playing that game, right? We've seen other teams offer up concerns about playing games or traveling to places where outbreaks have occurred. We'll see if this is the actual end of the positive tests for the Cardinals. We talked last week a lot about how, okay, 20% of the sport had been impacted by the virus directly in terms of games played on the schedule, but it hadn't come to Chicago yet. Now it's in the Central, and now potentially this weekend it will impact the Cubs. And I heard Len Casper on with Bernsie earlier, and he was talking about something that I feel like you and I have been talking about for a long time. They can do this, and I think at this point they are still very committed to doing it, and frankly, they should be. Once they started, they should try to plow through as best they can as long as the players are understanding of the risks that they're taking and willing to do it, right? Cespedes opts out, Lorenzo Cain opts out. So as long as everyone's going into this with open eyes, I got no problem with it. Until we reach some point, and I don't know what that point is in Rob Manfred's eyes, but with the old definition of pornography, I'll know what it is when I see it. At what point do we get to a point where this is just not representative of anything that anyone is proud of in terms of a product on the field? If the Marlins play 40 games this year and other teams play 60, is that a baseball season that anyone is going to stand behind as having any sort of meaning and being worthwhile?
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that. That's a considerable disparity in number of games played if it's as low as 40, and you pick a team that's not expected to be wasn't expected to be good and isn't going to be good, but that's not really the point here. St. Louis is expected by most accounts to be a team that's a postseason team. If they only get 40 games in, I don't know what the hell baseball winds up doing with it. I have no idea when that they probably will continue to change rules on the fly. They don't really have much of a choice here. You know, we didn't hear anything about seven inning doubleheaders during the time all of this was being negotiated before the season got going. And now that's a part of the baseball season this year. And you know, we survived just fine with it. First weekend we saw it, right? Nobody died. Everything is fine.
Everything is fine. I'm enjoying the games. I'm enjoying the quality of the games, frankly, more than I thought I was going to. I feel like it's been very good in that regard. But it's getting very disruptive. And as more players continue to opt out, it feels to me, just as I've observed all of this, what I'm guessing is going to happen is as more outbreaks happen, more players are going to say, I'm not very interested in this. There will be a feeling of inevitability of it coming to your clubhouse and then potentially your family and that sort of thing. And so I just think that I don't know when. I have no idea. But it feels like if they don't get this under control, there could be some sort of critical mass that is reached where it's just too many teams missing too many games and then too many players opting out, where it just will not feel like we're doing something. Because we talked about before the year, it's like, oh, okay, they have a taxi squad. So if four guys test positive, you just play the game the next day and you call up four guys from your reserve squad. But that's not how it works.
That's what we were expecting them to do. That's what we were led to believe was going to happen. Rosters are very large and everybody has a team within real close proximity where they're having their taxi squads training. So I thought it would go on, uninterrupted. But it's been anything but that.
Right. And that's what I thought early on, but then Dr. Citrenberg before the season started, he foreshadowed this exact scenario. He said, you could be exposed to it on a Saturday, and some people would test positive on a Sunday, and some people would test positive on a Tuesday, and that's the incubation period. And so he's talked about that on the show. And so that's what's happening right now, is that it's this rolling period of positive tests, and it's leaving the sport in a really complicated spot because players are opting out. Teams aren't going to be able to make up the time, and we'll see if they can keep powering through. I'm curious. Contact tracing is something that we aren't really doing a great job of in this country. Some countries have it, some don't. In sports where there have been breakouts, there have been acts of journalism around trying to identify the source of the outbreak. Like, basically, how I've interpreted it has basically been like, who messed up? who went and messed up and got COVID, as if it always is the result of being careless. Do you find yourself interested in the starting point of these outbreaks?
Not particularly. I suppose I'm interested if it gives us a chance to poke fun at somebody. I mean, if guys are going clubbing, or if guys can be the, you know, wind up as a punchline because they got it at a hotel bar, at a strip club or something like that, I suppose. But I don't necessarily equate it to irresponsible behavior. There's nothing that would tell me. You know, I don't have any of the skinny on this, on anybody on the Cardinals, or even if anybody locally winds up, you know, testing positive for it. We don't know their, I don't certainly know what their behaviors have been, what their lives have been like, and I think it's silly to point the finger when you don't know. But why? Are you fascinated by it?
Well, I found – so here's John Mozeliak, the Cardinals general manager, defending his team amidst an outbreak.
I think it's, like, incredible how people are just, like, looking to find this answer, as if to, like, create this blame game. And so I find that rather sickening and annoying. We're in a pandemic. The likelihood of where someone could have gotten this could be anywhere from a grocery store to a bar and everywhere in between. But trying to determine that, I don't think is very helpful. And even if I knew, I probably would not say it publicly, because I wouldn't want somebody brandished with that label.
Yeah,
I find that to be eminently reasonable.
Yes.
And the Marlins story, if the reports are true, hotel bars going out, and some of those have been disputed and not, then there is some carelessness there. I think Derek Jeter said our traveling party definitely got a little lax, is how he phrased it. Well, that's unacceptable.
Well, and what's unacceptable too, when you got a bunch of guys on the same team who are positive at the same time, it seems obvious that it was shared in the clubhouse or in the dugout. Somewhere along the way, it was shared among teammates, and that's where there is responsibility that has potentially been ignored. And mask wearing isn't everything, but it certainly is a safeguard. And we've talked ad nauseum about guys not consistently wearing their masks. So I suppose to some degree it's been invited. How it gets, you know, because the general manager is correct. You can get it at the grocery store, anywhere between there and the bar. You don't know where it is. But when guys... When somebody brings that in and no one knows it, and he doesn't know it, and guys aren't practicing social distancing, and then it becomes a team condition, and then you got a handful of guys testing, well, you know, you kind of made that bed yourselves by not following protocol.
Right. Well, so here's where the report came from on how it started with the Cardinals. This from the Radio.com podcast, Jerry Hairston Jr. on John Heyman's baseball podcast, and... it doesn't sound great.
When I heard from a couple, I mean, reliable sources what was going on, I was stunned. So what I did was I kind of sent out texts around baseball. Hey, this is what I'm hearing. It's going on. Is this true? Because I was so shocked, because I follow the Dodgers. I know what they're doing. I follow other clubs. They've all created a mini bubble. You know what I'm saying? It's from the stadium to the hotel, or stadium to the house. That's it. So when I heard what was going on with the two particular clubs, I was blown away. So I said, okay, let me send some other text messages out to people that are in the know, okay, that I really would know. And, you know, I got text messages the very next morning from a couple people. They said, man, it's even worse than you think. I was like, what? And so if you see my tweet, I didn't really, you know, go in. I just touched on a couple things. The reason why I did that, I was urged by a couple people that are in the game. Hey, please get this out here. Please get this out here. You know what I'm saying? Because they're going to shut us down. And I think it was, you know, from the people that wanted me to tweet that out, you know, I thought I was more defending the teams that were doing things the right way, that want to continue to play. You know, and Tony, you know this. I'm not a rat. I don't dine people out. I didn't mention no names, you know what I'm saying? I didn't mention players. But it was more like, man, this is a serious thing, man. We're trying to play in a pandemic. We're trying to do things the right way, and you can't go out there, you know, acting a certain way and expect things to be okay. And then in the meantime, you know, because ESPN just did the article, I think it was yesterday or the day before, the president for the Cards says, hey, they could have had it anyway. They could have, I mean, they could have had it in other ways. They could have had it at the grocery store or at the bar. This is his words. What are your team doing at the bar?
Is that what he said?
I mean, what are you doing? So yeah. Again, I don't want to see the Cardinals get in trouble. I don't want to see the Marlins get in trouble. I want them to be okay. I want their families to be okay. I want their grandparents to be okay. You know what I'm saying? It's just kind of like a wake up call. It was more of a tweet to defend the people that are doing things the right way and to kind of shake the Marlins and the Cardinals. Hey man, they may shut us down. You know, let's act like the other 28 teams, do a mini bubble. You know, you can't do like NBA. You just can't. There's way too many people. But you can do is do the very best job you can. That means hotel, stadium, home. That's it.
And he reported that the Marlins were seen out at a club in Atlanta and that the Cardinals went to a casino while they were on their trip in the Twin Cities. I do know independently, I've confirmed he was ahead. Good for him on the casino. I do know that is correct on the Cardinals.
I think what the problem that baseball now has is since that's out there, you're just going to have the guys are like, we're going to be responsible, but can you really trust anyone? And you're just going to see guys opting out consistently as this news continues to come out. Because if you got three or four guys on one team going out to a club and three or four guys on another going to a casino and then spreading it to all of them, you're going to say, I feel like I can trust you. I'm in the same meetings as you. We're on the same team. You're my teammate. You're my brother, whatever. But can I really trust you if these guys are going out to casinos and clubs?
Boys will be boys, and even though they are of majority age, very, very immature, and you do things, you know, when you're on the road and you get bored and, you know, you feel impervious to it and you wind up in a bar, you wind up in a casino.
I just wind up there.
Yeah, well, yeah.
How did I get to this bar?
I mean, let's be honest here. Like, we've been doing this here at the Score Studios for 5 months now, and we're talking about guys along this similar ages as ball players. You're not everyone is my age or Herb's age. We've got young guys working here, and somehow everyone's managed to play it safe here. I mean, we're not making millions of dollars, so it's kind of ridiculous that they can't have a different standard. I mean, I know their lifestyles are different if you want to go there, but I mean, you know, places like us, we've been able to stay here, knock on wood, because people here are being responsible and we can trust everyone else around us. So I don't understand why they can't just do that themselves.
I think it's fair. I would guess that there have been people at the Score who have been irresponsible and potentially gotten lucky.
You think?
Right? That would be my only counter to what you're saying, Tanny.
It's possible, yeah.
Right? And it's that's the problem. You have this degree of trust that you're taking, but in that particular job, if someone messes up, you are just in enclosed spaces. You're on airplanes. You're in clubhouses.
Danny, I'm in that soundbite we heard. Give credit to the other 28 teams who are doing it right. Look, it's far too early to give anybody bouquets because, I mean, some of these teams are just going on the road for the first time right now.
Right. We're so early in this.
Yeah, we are. Come on. Oh, they've done it right here. But I like that I'm hearing it more referred to as a mini bubble. That makes sense to treat it as such. But I don't think it'll be too long before we hear of a third team that has an outbreak, and then we can all point the fingers at a couple of guys on their team who forgot about the rules and went fill in the blank looking for adventure.
I just think in that scenario that we're going to reach a breaking point. Each one of these things is going to just keep piling up. It's going to keep costing teams games. There's only 60 on the damn schedule.
Right.
You can only play so many doubleheaders, and enough people are going to start opting out that if the rate of canceled games continues at this rate, I don't know how you get through this thing. I really don't.
Well, you don't with getting 60 games in. There's no way you can get 60 in. You're going to be hard-pressed to get 50 in if this thing continues to go at this pace.
Yeah, and to the texter says millions. They make millions of dollars. So I hear you. You would think, hey, make millions of dollars, private plane, private hotel, game, play child's game for all of that. The virus doesn't care.
Making millions of dollars doesn't make you smart either. It doesn't immediately make you think like an adult. You still think like a 23-year-old or a 25-year-old, regardless of what you're making.
Yeah, and I think that in terms of the shame, given that it seems like that's what's happened with those two teams, I'm not surprised that those details are out there because, like you said, people like to point and laugh, though it is, of course, true. You could get it at a grocery store. But you got to be a special kind of reckless to be a public figure, right? You're a professional athlete. You are recognizable. People know who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to nightclubs and casinos during a pandemic on the road? That's just dumb.
Yeah, it is dumb.
It's just dumb. And I think that baseball, like Rob Manfred, the owners, I think they have a very high tolerance for all of this, frankly. They're posturing like they don't. But I think that they want – that. Fine, we'll play – they didn't want to play 60 games. They wanted to play as few games as possible and be like me last year. All right, let's just get to the playoffs and make their money from the television in the expanded postseason. So – I still think it's going to come down to the players and the players' union to say, this is untenable, we have to opt out. I think the owners, they'd play 30 games if it got them to the postseason. I don't necessarily really believe that the owners care how many games that they get in this year.
Maybe
that's cynical, but I really think they just want to get to their expanded postseason. And if some teams get in playing 50 games and some teams play 60 and some teams play 35, they don't care. They just want that money.
And our local teams are rolling right now. I'll have
Cubs,
none
Sox
of this.
World Series.
Yes, Cubs Sox World Series, the COVID Cup of 2020. And nobody can get in the ballpark.
Hey. As someone asked earlier, the rooftop prices would be ridiculous for a Cubs Sox World Series with no other tickets being sold. You want some normalcy? We've got one of our old friends of the show being a special kind of weird next on The Score.
I'll tell you who's my sleeper is the Astros, okay?
What a sleeper team for Alex Rodriguez. We have Steve Conroy to talk about the Hawks in 10 minutes. Then Matt
Hawks?
Will join us at 4 o'clock. But we love A-Rod weirdness on this show because he's the child actor who just never really became comfortable in his own skin and says weird things around baseball.
Uh-huh.
He's been famous for so damn long, but here is A-Rod on Aaron Judge, who hit a home run on Sunday Night Baseball that just sounded very different. Here is A-Rod with doing A-Rod things.
2-0 to Judge. He's hit a bunch to left. He did it again. Oh, my. Second of the night for Aaron Judge.
Tiger Woods, LeBron James, Michael Jordan, Aaron Judge. Wow. Breaking ball. And hit it a country mile in Aaron Judge territory.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my.
He's not there yet.
No.
Tiger Woods, LeBron James, Michael Jordan, Aaron Judge.
Yep, flavor of the night, A-Rod.
God, I will say Aaron Judge is different.
He's a very special player. He's an incredibly charismatic dude, and he stops traffic when he's in the batter's box. Vendors stop vending. It's what you do when you can go to a Yankees game and Aaron Judge is in it. But, no, he's not those guys just yet. But if A-Rod wants to live in that world, we can admire his enthusiasm from a distance, I suppose. As a second straight Sunday night, I didn't make time for A-Rod last night. Patrick was over, and he wanted to watch Dances with Wolves. So after consuming two baseball games earlier in the day, that's what we decided to do. But that's the sort of thing I'm missing by missing out on an A-Rod broadcast.
Tiger Woods, LeBron James, Michael Jordan, Aaron Judge.
Juan Uribe.
Which one of these doesn't belong? And it's
Uribe
Aaron Judge.
Had Nicholas Castellanos in the same company as well. He also had a two-home run day for the Reds yesterday. And then gave it back with a bad play defensively. But they wind up winning anyway. So
yeah,
anyway.
The full Nick Castellanos experience.
Tiger Woods, LeBron James, Michael Jordan, Aaron Judge.
Josh Fagley.
keep them coming. There's
Juan
so
Uribe. That's perfect.
It's just so ridiculous. And, hey, I love the guy's enthusiasm. I kind of enjoy his weirdness, but – Tanny, do you enjoy A-Rod's weirdness or O.J. Simpson's Twitter account more? Because
ooh,
I feel like he's your guy.
Oh, man, he really put me on the spot here. Well, O.J. has been, the Twitter account's been quiet here during these trying times. That's probably the most upsetting thing about this whole COVID thing is the lack of tweeting by O.J.
That's it. That's yeah. the real.
I've pinpointed it, yeah. But A-Rod's there every week for me. That's a tough call. I'm a prisoner of the moment. Help, please get me out of here. I'm going to go with A-Rod.
Okay.
He represents A-Rod. Our game, and he's trying so hard to get a team. He just wants a baseball team. He, just like me, he sold his home in Malibu so he can get some few extra ducats together to get a baseball team. So I love that part of it. So, yeah. Go A-Rod.
The best part of A-Rod is his relatability. He's just the common man dating J-Lo.
Keep the salsa coming.
It's just so absurd. But can you play actually the very beginning of that again? Because
oh, it's so great.
That bat crack from Aaron Judge on the ball, like the impact that sound, Mac, as an audiophile, I feel like you'll enjoy this.
2-0 to Judge. He's hit a bunch to left. He did it again.
Quit yelling.
That's good crackage. To my favorite of the year is Luis Robert's first home run of the year, though. That was, I thought, a little bit more satisfying, but definitely Aaron Judge got good cluckage on that one.
Oh, wow. You think Lou Bob makes more of a sound than that? Okay, I'd like to hear those side by side, if at all possible.
Luis Robert.
Gone.
Oh. Oh. 2-0 to Judge. He's hit a bunch to left.
Quit yelling.
You're right. Luis Roberts was actually more prodigious. That's yeah. I think I'll go with Luis Robert. I'll go with door number one there, man. So wasn't it Peter Gammons who comped Lou Bob to Aaron Judge, Tanny? Wasn't that the Hall of Famer Peter Gammons with that comp? So
it was, yeah.
So Tiger Woods, Michael Jordan, Luis Robert. just add him to the list. Teddy Greenstein reporting that Northwestern football has paused their workouts after a player tests positive for COVID-19. We can get some details on that coming up. Matt Spiegel at 4 o'clock, but Steve Conroy on if what happened in Game 1 is replicable in Game 2 and beyond for the Hawks against the Oilers. Next on The Score.
Yeah, we kind of have the best of both worlds where we have a handful of guys that have been through it and won the Cups, and they can kind of share their experiences with the group as far as what it takes and the feeling, that it's worth it. Like, it's hard work, but it's worth it if you can do it as a group. And then at the same time, we got a really young group. I think I saw we're the youngest team in the qualifiers in the playoffs. So, that young energy and enthusiasm that they're very happy for the opportunity to be here and maybe don't know any better, that on the outside people may say that we don't have a chance, but we got a group that got better as the year went on, and now we got a chance to show it. So I think everyone's excited about that.
It's Jeremy Colleton, the head coach of the Blackhawks, has his first win in the playoffs. If we're calling this and considering it the playoffs, which, why not? Hawks 6-4 winners. It's weird. If they lose the series, they got a 12.5% shot at the number one pick. If they win, they've got pedigree and experience on their side, and maybe they're dangerous in the randomness that is hockey playoffs. So let's talk to someone who knows way more about it than I do. Steve Conroy, NBC Sports Chicago Hawks analyst, is our guest on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford is in Melrose Park. Steve, thank you so much for the time. How are you doing today?
Good. Danny, you know plenty. Maybe not as much as Danny Mack, but you know your hockey. So great to talk with you.
Oh, yeah.
I'm always worried about the netminder, Steve.
No one talks netminding more than Danny Parkins, wanting to know why Mike Smith is so careless with puck the other day. Well, the Hawks are in the driver's seat, and it's a win-win because of what Danny just suggested here. You get valuable experience in the postseason, and if you move forward, terrific. If you don't, you do have a decent shot at the number one pick, but very good start, I thought, the other afternoon. Cons, I thought the team played with a lot of jump and was fundamentally very sound. The forecheck was very, very good, and they took advantages of a lot of Edmonton mistakes in that first period.
Yeah, you know, I was pleasantly surprised. But if you go back and you look at the game, Mac, you know, and of course, Edmonton scored. Chicago takes a real bad penalty. Too many men on the ice. You don't want to take penalties, especially stupid penalties like that. So then Edmonton scores, what was it, 2 minutes into the game, whatever it was. And then right off the next faceoff, they come down the ice. They hit the post, and Corey Crawford then makes an unbelievable save off the rebound from the post. So, you know, all of a sudden it could have been a 2-0 game. It's not. Dylan Strome ends up tying it a couple minutes after that. And, of course, the rest is history. So I was, as I mentioned, pleasantly surprised. I wasn't too sure how they'd be able to handle McDavid and Draisaitl. They handcuffed those guys. And I know at the end of the night, you know, McDavid had a goal and two assists. And I think he was even picked third star of the game. I thought he was one of the weaker players on the ice. I thought the Blackhawks really – you know, took advantage of maybe some of his shortcomings, and those shortcomings are when he doesn't have the puck and he's in his own zone, and the shortcomings in the faceoff dot too, because Jonathan Toews absolutely owned him winning faceoffs. Johnny won 7 of 10 offensive faceoffs. I think he was 5 for 5 against Connor McDavid in the offensive zone, in the Blackhawks offensive zone. So, you know, it was great. It's obviously going to be a different story tonight. I think it was a wake-up call for the Edmonton Oilers. There's going to be some pushback. But listen, the Blackhawks, as you mentioned, they're in the driver's seat. They win if they win, and they win if they lose, possibly. So, and you know, I'll follow up on something Jeremy Collins said. You know, and you know all about youthful enthusiasm. Remember when we were young and stupid and just having a great time doing what we were doing? That's what these guys have. And there's 10 guys on that roster, 10 guys who were dressed against Edmonton in game one who had never played a playoff game. So, yeah, there's something to be said for youthful enthusiasm, and the Blackhawks certainly have that.
Stevie, how did Corey Crawford look to you in his return?
He looked great. You know, the Corey Crawford that we've seen in the past, Mac, calm, cool, and collected. He makes himself big. I talked about that play, you know, McDavid ripped one over his shoulder early in the game on the power play. It's 1-0. And then he doesn't worry about that goal. It's kind of like a pitcher giving up a home run ball and then throwing a strike his next pitch. You've got to have a short memory. You got to let it roll off your back, and you just got to worry about making the next stop. And literally 10 seconds later, he makes that huge stop. I think it was off of Connor Sheary. Archibald hit the post. Connor Sheary follows up. He makes a pad save. And, you know, a couple minutes later, they tie it up, and that really changed the momentum of the game. So, you know, people worried about, you know, he only had a week of practice, not even a week. I think he was on the ice 5 times after his bout with COVID, the coronavirus. And people thought he wasn't maybe getting enough reps, that he wasn't, you know, that he should have maybe practiced a little more or had some more looks. And I was not worried about that in one least bit. I just knew that he's a cerebral goalie. He thinks the game, I think, better than any other goalie in the NHL. And maybe the most important thing is he just lets the game come to him. Because he's been in these situations before, he's not forcing things. He's not chasing the game. He's not overreacting. He just kind of lets it happen. And tell you what, 9 times out of 10, that really works for him. And, you know, listen, Edmonton's going to ramp it up tonight. and it might be a little bit of a different story, but I'll tell you what, if I'm a defenseman out there and I got Corey Crawford behind me, I feel a lot better about my chances.
Talking Hawks with Steve Conroy from NBC Sports Chicago. Matt Spiegel will join us in about 10 minutes. What impact, if any, have you seen the uniqueness of the circumstance of these games? No fans, the location, anything. What impact is that type of thing having on the quality of hockey we're watching, Cons?
You know, I don't, Danny, I don't know if it affects the quality, but I'll tell you what it does affect. And I'll go keep going back to this goal by McDavid, but if they score early in the game, can you imagine if at the Edmonton Oilers fans were there, there's 18,000 plus, and they're all, you know, McDavid is the second coming of our savior, and he scores the first goal of the playoffs for them, they'd be going crazy. And instead, it's a quiet building, and obviously the bench gets a little energized, but you don't get energized from the fans. So I think that's a huge factor in these playoffs. And I have not experienced it. I've never been in a building in a professional game where there's been no fans. And I've seen some of the comments from the players saying that, you know, you got to create your own energy, and it's kind of a different feeling. But I just think that that's a good thing, that, you know, it's just going to come down to skill and not so much momentum and not so much, you know, fan involvement. And I know the Blackhawks have the greatest fans in the world, and it's normally worth a goal or two when they play at the United Center. But I just think in that instance, when Edmonton scored first and there was no fans in the building, it just didn't amp up the Edmonton Oilers like I think it normally would. So I think the game presentation's been fantastic, though, Danny. What I saw in that first game, and I've seen a couple of the other games too, really like what the NHL's done. It doesn't bother me that we're not seeing any fans. They are piping in some ambient noise, and that's fine by me. But all in all, it's been a top-notch production.
Yeah, Chelsea Dagger played six times in Edmonton Saturday. Boy, that's not too weird. Jeremy Colliton won't say. He said, tune in tonight, 8:30 in Edmonton, 9:30 here. As to who gets the roster spot vacated by Drake Caggiula, who was suspended, who do you think it'll be, and do you think that was the right call for him going high on the Oilers player he tried to check?
Yeah, it was the right call, and I don't think Drake Caggiula was targeting the head, but unfortunately that's what he made contact with. So when you're in that situation, and boy, I don't know how you try and change your trajectory, but when you're in that situation and you think you're going to maybe hit his head, you just got to hold up. And I think Drake was hoping he'd make contact with the shoulder first, and he didn't, and it was the chin of Tyler Ennis. So, yeah, the NHL made the right call there, and it's because he's a first-time offender, it's just the one game. And I know it's got to be killing Drake because, you know, he is a former Edmonton Oiler, and there'd be nothing better for him than to stick it to his ex-team. As far as who goes in, you know, Dylan Secura actually looked pretty good through training camp. So he is probably the most likely, but there's another kid too, Brandon Hagel, who the Blackhawks traded for, I don't know if it was last year, it was a couple of years ago. And the only reason I know this kid is because we were in Calgary shortly after he was traded, and he played for the Red Deer Rebels. And, of course, the head coach of the Red Deer Rebels is Brent Sutter. And I talked to Brent about this kid, and he has said he is Andrew Shaw-like, very tenacious. He's not overly big. He's only about 5'10 and maybe 170 pounds, so very wiry. But he is just a tenacious checker. And, of course, he's from Alberta. So, you know, if he saw some ice time, it wouldn't totally shock me. But I think, you know, because Secura has had some, you know, playing time with the Blackhawks. I think it's getting close to 20 games now. And the fact that he looked pretty good in training camp 2.0 down at Fifth Third Arena, I think he's the guy who gets the call. But I guess we won't know, so tune in and watch tonight.
Former Hawks defenseman Steve Conroy from their television studio programs on NBC Sports Chicago with us for another few minutes with McNeil and Parkins on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Brandon Saad has been an enigma. Played like his hair was on fire in 2015 and helped the Hawks win a cup. Just terrific against the Tampa Bay Lightning in the final. But a few years after, you know, going elsewhere, coming back, he has really been an up-and-down player, and I think one who frustrates a lot of Hawks fans. Saturday, terrific. And if Connor McDavid wants to fall asleep behind his own net with a puck on his stick, that's fine with me, because Sutter took it away from him, and it led to the captain's second goal. How critical is it that that he gets his act going together, not just right now, but whenever another hockey season begins, that Brandon Saad start to establish some consistency, Steve?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. The NHL today, Mac, and I'm sure you know as well as anyone, it's all about getting to the front of the net. And Brandon Saad is, and not that he's an overly tough kid, but he'll go to those greasy areas. He'll go to those tough areas. And he's got a great skater, too. His north-south game is maybe the best amongst the wingers on the Chicago Blackhawks. So, you know, when he starts going east-west and dipsy-doodling outside the opposition blue line or just inside the blue line, that's when he gets the trouble. He's a powerful skater, and when he just heads north-south and goes right to the net and stops and doesn't do any flybys, that's when he's most effective. And, you know, you just look at the goals that are scored, and I'd say 80% of them are within a 10-foot radius of the net, and that's where he normally is when they're in the offensive zone. So that's what he's got to do. Listen, going back to 2015, yeah, he had a great season. He signed a big contract, and then maybe put he took his foot off the gas a little bit, and I think that's maybe only human nature. And then, of course, you know, he gets dealt to the Columbus Blue Jackets. I think this is an opportunity for him to really reestablish his game. And it's that north-south game, and it's scoring the odd goal, and it's letting Jonathan Toews do what he does best, and that's, you know, set up other guys. So, I really liked what I saw. And you talk about that play against Connor McDavid. Not only is he finishing his check, but he's putting his stick in a passing lane, and that's how he picked off that puck. So, you know, good for him, and I hope he continues that, because if they want to go anywhere in the playoffs, you know, Brandon Saad's going to be a big part of it.
Steve Conroy, NBC Sports Chicago. Have some coffee. Stay up late. We'll be watching.
Thanks, Stevie. Right.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
You too. Take care.
9:30 puck drop in Edmonton against the Oilers as the Hawks look to take a commanding 2-0 lead in the traditional 12-5 matchup of the Stanley Cup playoffs.
They'll be dropping the puck right around the time Jeremy Jeffress is getting the ball for his second consecutive save opportunity for the Cub as they take on the Royal tonight at Wrigley.
Matt Spiegel's reactions to the Cubs and Sox sweep of the baseball weekend next on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.